And we do the same things. We're inexcusable. We're proving that God's judgment is true. And that's what he says, is we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And you can read that list from Romans 1. That all the wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, the despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. That, you know, when you do those things, I don't judge you. God has judged you. That is the judgment of God. And the judgment of God stands. You know, I've got to proclaim the judgment of God. And it's against me if I am also a committer of those things. So it's not without some consideration. I don't think I'm going to escape if I do such things. I know I got to be delivered from those things, or I'm going to be just like all those people. That's why it's funny to me when preachers get up and say, I sin, you're going to sin, we all sin, then you're going to be judged. I don't care what you say you believe. You haven't believed in the promises of God, because if you believe the promises of God, you would pass from judgment to life. You would pass from sin to righteousness. But because you do not believe the judgment of God, because you think you can condemn others and do the same thing yourself, you are not going to be excused. You should never judge you who are not willing to submit to God's judgment. And that's the point. If you're not willing to submit to God's judgment, then don't judge. But they neglected judgment, righteous judgment. That's what Jesus said. He said, judge not after the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what Jesus said. Judge righteous judgment. That's a commandment to judge. Don't judge after the appearance, judge righteous judgment. To neglect judgment, to use bad judgment, because everything is going to be judged. We are going to judge things in our lives. But take heed how you judge. That's the point. Judge not is not a command not to judge. Judge not is not a command any more than go in sin is a command. You know, judge not, go in sin. You know, Jesus said, go in sin no more. Well, Jesus said more after he said, judge not. Don't make up your own judgment. Let's not go beyond God's judgment. But God has already judged. When I say, hey, that's a sin, I'm not judging you. When I say, you're beyond help, I am judging you. When I say, I don't want to, why rebuke them? They're never going to hear me anyways. I'm judging in a bad way. That's a bad way of judging someone. You know, when I say like, well, I really feel like I want to rebuke this person, but they're not going to hear me. Forget it. Now, after the second or third time, yeah, forget it. Because that's what the word says. After the heretic, after the second or third admonition, if someone won't listen, reject it. Just forget about it. You've done your job. You don't have to keep working at them. But don't judge people. I'll tell you what, this chapter 11 is so packed. I mean, it's got judgment, the love of God, all these concepts. Honestly, it makes my head spin. All the things that's packed into Luke 11. I mean, Luke really packs his gospel. I feel like I can't, if I had 10 days to teach this chapter, I don't know if I could do it justice. The very subjects we're going over. That these things ought to be done. That people don't understand the love of God. What God's love is. God's love is powerful. It's a very powerful force. And when people go into the lake of fire and destruction, God doesn't love them. He's not going to be weeping. There is no love in the lake of fire. And my point is this, you know, people say, oh no, God loves them. He loves everybody. God loves everybody. He wants them all to be saved. And he's so sad that they don't choose to be saved. And I said, that's pathetic. That is not my vision of God. That God is so weak and pathetic, I could never follow any such God. A God that would say, I love you, but blow your brains out. I can't stop you. I want you to choose life without me interfering. Which of you who had a son who he loved with a gun to his head and the power to stop them would not do it? Would you not stop your son from blowing his brains out? Because that's what humanity is doing. They're destroying themselves. And they're doing it with God's gun. And you know what? And God's love is so powerful that when he intends to save someone, he saves them. That's the way I see God. If you love someone, if you really love them, you'll do anything. Whether they want to be saved or not, you will save them because you love them. What are you saying is, in your God, you're saying God loves something more than you. And what it is he loves choice. He loves that you would choose without, he loves gambling more than he loves you, basically. Because, you know, we all have these sort of random set of characteristics and random lives, and why some people believe and others don't, a lot of it has to do with their circumstances. A lot of it has to do with what's in them. And the deck is stacked against people. Read the scriptures. Tell me it isn't so. The deck is stacked. God, I rejoice. You hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. God has blinded their eyes. So my thought is, he better hate them. Because I don't want to see God do stuff like that unless he means it. Unless he means it. It's pathetic. If he blinds those he loves and causes them to go down to destruction, what's that? He's confused. He doesn't know what he wants. God knows what he wants. I'm telling you, and his love is strong. When he puts his love on someone, he loves them with a powerful love. A love that overcomes everything. Like the Apostle Paul wanted to kill Christians, but God loved him so much, he struck him down. Struck him blind. That was the love of God towards Paul the Apostle. I strike you blind. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, Paul. And he made him serve him. And I tell you what, I've seen the love of God that way towards me. And it's his mercy, because it turns me from sin. His powerful love is to come and to change us and to powerfully affect our lives. And he's powerfully affecting the lives of many people who are going to destruction. But he's powerfully affecting their lives that they should reject him. The savior of death unto death and the savior of life unto life. Because they receive not his word. And the word has no appeal to them. I know that when I teach the gospel, only a few people are really going to like what I have to say. Because it's just going to strike the right chord. Because they're ready to hear. Because God has given them ears to hear it. Now, other people, it's going to be like, oh, and they're going to hate it. Just as a lot of people hated what Jesus had to say. They came for the miracles. The doctrine, he spoke in parables. You know why he spoke in parables to the multitudes? Because if he told them outright, they would have rushed him and killed him. If he told them in a way that they could all understand fully what he meant, you people are excluded.